together than we are on our own. We need one another. You need people around you, and they need you. And when we're together, and when we're serving and working and moving in that direction together, we can accomplish so much more. There's two handsome-looking men right there. Those are my own other two boys, but they're both married, hands off. Benny, he looks like he's right out of a magazine this morning. He's all gokied down today, doesn't he now? He's gokied up. Man, we had a time last night. We just had a time. It was great. We just need some of those times sometime. And just to let it all out and to do something great for the kingdom of God. So Jesus, in five chapters, John 13 through 17, are all from the last night, his final night that he was with his disciples. Five chapters that he devotes, and he speaks to us, and he speaks to you and I on this. And I want to read to you a little out of John chapter 13, and I want to share just a couple thoughts, and then we'll be all done. John 13, verse 1, it said, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I want to tell somebody today that you may feel like you're at the end, but Jesus is there. You think maybe because you were at the end that he has forgotten you. He says right here, he loved them. He'll love you right till the end. He'll never give up on you. And the Bible says the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and he had come from God and was returning to God. I just love that. He'd come from God, and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. We talked about this last Tuesday morning in men's Bible study. And after that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. Look at this, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And Jesus brings some significance to this. He wraps a towel around him, and then the word says, and he dried their feet with the towel that he had wrapped around them, bringing a level of intimacy into that. He didn't just pick up a towel off the shelf, but he had something that he had close to him that had become a part of who he was, to dry their feet. And after that, he poured water into the basin. He began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And here's where a lot of people in life are. That they go so far with God, and then he wants to have this intimate experience with them, and they say, "Whoa, wait a minute. You know, you can have this, but you can't go there." And Peter says, "Are you really? You're not going to wash my feet, are you? Man, they got some things in there that nobody has seen before. I don't want you, Lord, to look at the stuff that's on my feet. I don't want you to look at the inward parts. See, the most disgusting place on my life, I don't want you, Lord. You're not really going to look there, are you, Lord? You're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus, this is what he said to them. And this is what he says to you and I. He said, "You don't realize what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." And still Peter says, "No, you'll never wash my feet. Lord, I'm not going to let you get that intimate with me. I'm not going to let you look into that part of my life." And I wonder who's here this morning that I'm talking to that you'll go so far with the Lord, but when you come up to that place in life or in a moment when God is moving in a powerful way and he wants to invade in your life, and you know if you open up, he's going to see some things that nobody else has seen. And I wonder if you're one of those people that say, "No, Lord. You've gone far enough. You're not going to wash my feet. You're not going to look on the inward parts. You're not going to see those ugly places in me." And Jesus says this to him. Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, unless I look at your feet, unless I serve you, you'll have no part of me." And I didn't put it up on the screen, but the next verse in verse 9, if you're looking in your Bible, the Bible says, "Then Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, don't just wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head. Wash everything. And if we were to really hear the heart of God today, when he says, I want to be that close to you. I want to be that intimate with you. And instead of us pushing him away, if we were to hear him say, if you don't let me in, I'm not going to have any part with you. I don't think there would be a person in here, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your background is, that you wouldn't open up your heart and say, yes, Lord, here I am. Come on in. Come on in, Lord. Have your way in my life. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in those places in my life where I really didn't want the Lord to look on. I really didn't want him to be involved in my life at that moment. I wanted him on the other side of the door so I could just be who I was at the moment with no one looking, just me, myself, and I. But see, Jesus doesn't work that way. When you have that relationship with you, he wants to come into your life. He wants to open up that door. And the only way he can open it is if you open it for him and say, come on in, Jesus. Wash my feet, wash my toes. Lord, you can wash all of me. Have your way in my life. And when he does, he begins to transform who you are as a person. And life is never the same anymore. Let me tell you something. Life is never the same. Let him in. Let him see those dirty places in your life. Let him get the view of the most treacherous, most despicable places in your life. If you'll tell him about it, he'll come in. He'll never condemn you. He'll never look down at you. He'll say, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you hope from your trouble. I'll deliver you from the weight that would so easily beset you. He wants to come in. He wants to help. And he wants you and I to have that with one another as well. Yeah, I found out that the hand of Jesus many times comes in the hand of another person. In my life. Instead of waiting for God to step out of heaven and just touch me, I've learned over time that he infuses the life of another in my time of need to lay their hand on me, and it's the hand of God through them that's helping me at that moment. You need to be cognizant of that. You need to be aware of that. You need to make sure that your life is not so isolated that you don't let anybody else in. Because if it is, you're going to be in trouble. And when you are in trouble and you're alone, my brother and my sister, you're really in trouble. That's why we need the different Bible studies. We need people in the church. We need to get ourselves. We need to align ourselves. We need to involve ourselves. And there's a plethora of, look at your bulletin. That bulletin's just not printed for you to throw on the floor. It has steps in there for you to get connected with others that will help you in your life. And I will tell you something else. You may go into a group. You may go into a study. I don't care, a men's or women's Bible study. You might get in there and you might say, well, you know, I just don't fit. I don't like those people. But if you were in trouble, and I found out when I was in the most trouble in my life, some of the most obscure people that I had no idea even existed came to my need and were a blessing, a great blessing in my life. You need to do that. Parents, you need to encourage your children in that. If you practice the isolation thing, you're going to raise your children up to do the very same thing. And that's not healthy for them. Come on, amen me today. Help me in this house. So I just want to give you a couple thoughts. These five chapters, chapter 13 through 17, reveal some things to us that we can learn that to know that we are better together than we are individually. And so he says in John chapter 13, he encourages us to serve one another. He said when he had finished washing their feet, he put his clothes on and he returned to his place. And he said, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked him, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash the feet of another. You and I are called to serve one another. And can I also say that serving isn't always you doing it for someone, but it's also opening up your life to allow someone to help you. And this is real to me because that is one of the hardest things of my life. I love to give. I have a difficulty receiving. I'm just challenged with it. But when you get to a place where you have no more to give and people begin to sow into your life and help you, you will never, ever forget that in your life. I remember some of the hardest times in my life. I remember I shared it in the first service. Brother Chuck Wood just coming up to my office and walking in and saying, I just wanted to stop and tell you, you get through this. This is nothing. You'll be all right. He'll never know what those words meant to me. I remember just not long ago when Patty and I went through with her breast cancer. And I'm telling you, you talk about going through the darkest, most difficult season of our lives together. And to have people that we would never expect just come to bless us and come to serve with us and come to help us. It totally changed our life. In the midst of your lack and your need, God has called others to come, not only for you to serve, but to let others serve you as well. And when you do, something changes in your life. 1 Peter 4:10 said, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Everyone in this room here today has a gift. He says, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Everyone has a gift that they're good at. And you need to use that to help serve. And when you need it, allow others to serve you. The second thing is, he says in John 14, he says, verse 1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. We are called to encourage one another in a great way. To lift up the spirit of another, to speak life and to speak hope. Jesus began to tell them this, and he knew that there was trouble ahead for him. And he wasn't referring to what was on this earth, but he was taking it to another level. And that's for the believer here today, that you could be going through a tough time. You could be facing a difficulty, but I want you to know that Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe also in me. And he says, he goes on to talk about not what the earth has to offer, but what heaven has to offer. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. And he goes on to say, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, come on, you may be also. Encourage one another. Hey, it may be getting dark on this earth. There may be stuff going all around, but at the end of the day, it can't touch who I've been called to be, because I serve a greater King, a greater Master, who has a greater hope for me. We are not of those who have no hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ, that because he lives, I will live also. And Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will harden you. Being separate, being isolated, will harden your heart. If you're here today and you're just hard, you're here in the worship service and you're like, I wish Ryan would shut up and sit down. You got a heart issue, my friend. And you need to open up your heart and let the power of the Holy Spirit come in and soften you. Because you could be hard here and you say, well, I just feel that way in church. You're lying. You feel that way all the time. You're wearing cast iron shorts that are just bugging you wherever you go. And I don't even know where that came from. Don't let your heart get hardened. Because it'll make you hard. It'll make you hard for your husband and your wife and your children. Your kids won't want to be around you because you're a miserable thing. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm talking to me. I've been hard. I've been miserable. You didn't have to yeah on that. Dear God, help my children. Number three. Everybody say three. Help me, Jesus. We can produce more together. When we gather together, we always accomplish more. That's why this year in offering is just so important. And I hope that doesn't cause anybody to have fear. I hope somebody will come up and tell me 20,000 isn't enough. We can meet that in a week or a couple of weeks. Because when we're together, we can do so much more together than we can individually. God never called anybody individually to accomplish anything big. But he always calls a corporate group of people to come together and say, hey, we are better together. We can produce more. We can do more together with God on our side than we could ever do alone. In John 15, he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit of itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He said, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do nothing. We need one another, and we need God in our lives. And together with that, we can do all things. Great things will happen. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, one man in prayer can chase 1,000, but two, something happens. We put 10,000 to flight. My goodness, when we agree together and we come into that agreement and move together as one, there's an exponential movement that takes place in the heavenlies. And the multiplication factor goes from 1 to 10,000. And it keeps on moving. We need one another. We're better together. Come on today. We can do more together than we can individually. And the fourth thing is, he says it's going to protect one another. John 16:1, five chapters, one night, Jesus giving this word to his disciples. He says in John 16:1, all this I have told you that you will not go astray. Or one translation says you won't stumble. The word stumble, astray there, is the word in Greek, skandalizo. That's where we get the word scandal from. And the word means a stumbling block. He says, I've told you that you will not trip on the stumbling block. You won't fall in the trap. You know something that I've learned in life? When I have a group of men around me that are close to me, that are watching out for me, they'll let me know ahead of time things that I can't see in my own strength and tell me there is a stumbling block there waiting for you. I need that in my life. You need that in your life. This is, I have told you that you will not stumble, but you cannot do it on your own strength. You need other people to stand with you and tell you, hey, watch out. You don't want to go there. If you go there, you're going to fall in that hole. Hey, watch out. There's a cone up there. You want to go around that. Don't you go in that direction and not worry if anybody gets upset at you for telling them that. Listen, I'd rather have you mad at me than looking up at me in a hole in a pit that you fell into because I was too embarrassed to tell you the truth about your life. Oh, come on. Whether you amen me or not, you know that's the truth. I've had so many people tell me over the years, well, if you really love me, if you're really my friend, you'll let me do this. Really? I'm going to stand back and watch you fall into a hole and destroy your life? Oh, I could talk about that right now, but I probably ought to just keep on going in just a little bit. It's important for you to let other people see your feet, to see the dirty parts in your life. It's important for you to have people that you're not ashamed of or embarrassed of, that you can confide in, you can talk to, you can let them know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Hello, come on today. You need that in your life. And don't get upset when somebody says, hey, dude, that is off the wall. Ma'am, miss, change it. You're going to get in trouble. Don't hang around him. Don't go out with her. You're going to get in trouble. Instead of you getting mad at him, you ought to hug him and send him flowers and tell him, thank you for protecting me. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 in the Message. I love it. It's better to have a partner than go it alone. Look at that. I love this. Share the work. Share the wealth. And if one falls down, look at the other one will help them up. But if there's no one to help, tough. Then this is for the married couples. Married couples. Two in a bed warm each other. Whoo. Hallelujah. Alone, you shiver all night. For the married couples, if you're married, married people, husband and wife, you got a ring. Don't walk out of here and say, yeah, Pastor said, we can go and get warm. No, I didn't. Everybody say married couples. But he says, by yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? Because a three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. Oh, my goodness. You got to have some people around your life that will protect you, that will speak in your life, that will keep you from making a total fool out of yourself. How many of you ever just made an idiot out of yourself sometime and you just needed somebody to come alongside of you and say, and you know that same person that'll help you? If they're God sent to you, they won't criticize you after you make an idiot out of yourself. They'll just help you from doing it again in your life. Woo! And don't back up when God sends those people in your life. Do you know how many letters I've sent to people because they won't answer the phone? Listen, when you're beginning to act stupid, that's Greek for foolishness, and somebody reaches out to you and you ignore their phone call, you, my brother and my sister, and I know I'm getting right into the dirt with some of you now, because you're excellent at that. You can answer the phone when you want, but when you want to go your own way, you avoid that. Let me tell you something. You better turn up the volume, turn the ringer on. You better have it strapped up to your ear so you will answer that thing and say, yeah, what do you want? I know I'm going to do a stupid thing. What do you got to say? And let the word of the Lord come out of somebody's mouth that will protect you and keep you from falling and stumbling. Oh, hallelujah. I can't tell you the amount of people over my life, the ones who have let me help them, and I don't have anything special, but sometimes it just needs somebody to speak that word to you at the right time that will keep you from doing something that will destroy your life. And then the people that said, nope, I'm going to do this thing. And if you're one of those people here today that you're just so set in your heart that you're going to do whatever you want and you don't care what anybody says, you're in trouble already. You need somebody to come alongside of you and to help you. And the last point, pray for one another. John 17, verse 1 and verse 9, it says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven. And the Bible says he began to pray. And then in verse 9, he said, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but I'm praying for those that you have given me, for they are yours. What's he saying there? I have this group of men around me right now, these disciples that are around me, I'm going to pray for them so that they will pray for others. And that's how it works. You see, we're foolish to think that I can stand here and pray for everyone that you know that I don't even know. But I can pray for you. I can pray for my staff. I can pray for our leaders, and they can pray for you. And then you can pray for others. We are called to pray one for the other. James 5:16 says, confess your sin to each other and pray one for the other. So what? You may be healed. Come on, how many of you love the Lord today with all your heart? Thank you, Jesus. Bow your head, close your eyes with me. I'm going to close in prayer. Father, how I thank you. Prayer people, would you just make your way to the altar right now? Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, young, old, whoever you are, you might be sitting there and saying, I get it, but some of it's not making sense to me. Or for some of you, if you've never given your heart to Christ, you felt this tug on you since I've been speaking this morning, even in the worship service. Something's been pulling at your heart. That's the love of God. That's Him. He's moving through His Holy Spirit. His Spirit that you can't see, but you can sense it in your heart. And maybe for some of you, one of these points that I touched on this morning, something pricked your heart. And God wants to help you with that. Maybe you're one of those. You're just not good opening up your life. You're not good at letting anybody see these dirty parts of your life. But God wants to come alongside of you this morning. And these people, they want to stand and pray for you. Nobody's here to condemn anyone. Let me tell you something. Even everyone that's standing up here, including me, have been in the darkest places in life. And if it wasn't for somebody standing alongside of us, praying for us, speaking life into our dark situation, we would not even be upright today. He wants to help you. If you'd never given your heart to Jesus before you leave today, I want you to come down. Just tell one of these folks here, say, I want to give my heart to Jesus. They'll pray for you, give you a Bible, bless you. If you're here today and you're struggling with one of these areas in your life, the Lord wants to lift you out of it. He wants to help you. He wants to give you hope. He wants to rescue you and bring life to you. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to be alone. You can let God change your life today. I'm going to close in prayer. Just your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just for one more moment. He's going to help you. He's going to lift you up. I just sensed all morning God is in the rescuing mode today. And He wants to help you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know someone needs that today. You're hurt. You're broken. Maybe you've been abused. Maybe something terrible has happened in your life and You just don't want to reach out to anyone. God wants to help you with that today. He wants to deliver you from it. We're going to close in prayer. And then when we get done praying, before you leave, I just want you to come down. Say to one of these folks down here, just will you pray for me because of this? And watch God do a great work in their lives. Ryan, pray.
Lord, we thank you that you visited us this morning. Father, that you're here in the midst of us. Hold our hand to walk with us. Father, we just ask you that through your Holy Spirit, we would connect deeper, Father, as brothers and sisters, would watch for each other, that we would be our brother's keepers. God, we're so thankful for what you're doing in your house. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit this morning, God. Father, we just ask you to go deeper, faith to faith, glory to glory, together. We thank you for your house, Father. Expand your territory in this region, Father. Bring all the gifts to your house, God. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer this morning, please come. If not, we'll see you Thursday, 7 o'clock.